something that I think is like I don't, yeah, like I have kind of fuzzy thinking about this film, but like something that I think is really interesting is the fact that like when I, the political fights that I have read about or like witnessed as a kid in Spain or like, or basically done research in relationship with the AIDS pandemic was like for life. It's people like fighting for life, you know, like people fighting for their right to be alive and the right of their government to recognize them as citizens. And in this way, like they get recognition as citizens through their like own, like their kind of like death, like choosing AIDS as a way of kind of like putting a fight against the desires and the shaping that that government had prepared for them. Like there's something that I was also reading, and it was something that Vladimir kind of like, in an interview that he gave after he already had signed the treaty, because of course the moment he showed this in the United States, he was a traitor and he could never go back to Cuba until the embargo was lifted last year. So he didn't see his parents for like 25 years or something. That the severity of the response that these people were enacting was in response to the severity with which they were repressed, like the kind of like seriousness in which like the government took its own rhetoric and its own kind of ideology was like what also prompted these people to like launch themselves into such a kind of like desperate attempt at rejecting the basically like the consigna, how you say, like the lemma, like the motto that the government had at the time, which was socialism or death, and they were like, okay, cool, death. You know, like we're not going to be, we don't want to enact this like form of labor, this form of embodiment, this one. And so when you were talking about this, like those different forms of government that you have mentioned have a lot of specificities that are different, but perhaps there is something in their form of power, in the form of power that they enact that is not so, like there see some kind of fluidity among them, even if the rules and the like the type of economic structures that they want to follow like are so radically different, and in the like on a global discourse they have become these kind of like two like dialectical opposites, but in their kind of like inner politics, in the way of dealing with the difference, they were actually not that different. And and it's also something that like I think is interesting. I haven't watched this in a while, and it was, I mean, it's a kind of like kind of thing that you maybe don't want to watch all the time. And it's so evident how also like it's mainly the male characters, like there's mainly the men who are in this kind of crusade of like injecting themselves and have this very like the ones that like reject, like kind of not reject, but when you like kind of like, how you say, like regret, like they basically don't want to regret because it's their position, and it's the women were like, yeah, I totally regret it, like it was like I did it, and most of the women like do it because they are following these guys who are in this crusade against like this kind of like oppression, which I don't know how to assess, but I, you know, like you think about like how like kind of like power ripples down and how like replication of like change of like power relationships. And so in a way, like, I mean, I don't say that these guys were enacting the government, but it is interesting like how they're like somehow in different spheres, like the chain in which this like very particular and super strange form of violence was taking place.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I notice also they always inject men's blood, I mean male blood. And particularly the one who is the son of the, I mean, they mention it many, many times, the son of the director of education. I mean, so there is this kind of class, suddenly this sort of class thing that actually rolls through the film, which is that they inject the blood of the guy who is...
Because it's legitimacy, of course, it's like a way, like, because the way in which also, like, rockers were discriminated against is this like marginales, no? Like you said, like in Spanish, they still have this expression of like people who are in the margins of society, people who come from all these poor families and didn't have access to education. And then to have the son of like the like regional director of education being one of them, and I wanted to like also like have this rebellious action and partake, was a way of also signalizing the fact that it wasn't just this sort of like marginal fringy position, but it was actually a larger social problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Maybe that is a point where there is a
Maybe there's a point where it's a particularity about the Cuban context, because there is not only the rhetoric of education for everybody, but there is also production of this. And so these very strong socialist values have this reverse side of kind of disciplination that is so overly present that any kind of non-normative behavior within that is superficially repressed. And I think it's important in that, like, to bring in a little bit the context, because he shot in 94, you mentioned that it was Periodo Especial, so it is after the moment where the socialist camp was just dismantled. And if you see the some images when you go through this main street in La Habana in the beginning of the film, you see all these stores where it's nothing, and so where there's nothing to eat and nothing to sell and nothing. So it is the social situation that is super the scarcity is extremely present, and the Cuban government reacts on very many levels by a reimposition of all these socialist moral principles that they already had put into place throughout the whole time, but especially throughout the 80s, where they had these re-education camps for homosexuals. And so in a certain manner, there is something that is going on in that direction, even if it's a different context in which they take it up. Yeah, just to, just one, you talked about this reaction that is at the same level as the repression by the state. There are two decisions in the film that I find quite pretty much going in that direction. That is the presence of the U.S. flag, and that is the soundtrack with the religious music. So the fact to inscribe and the presence of the cross inscribe all the time, or to have all the time two of the major enemies of the Cuban government. So two of the major references that all the time are addressed by the government as the major factors why progress cannot go on. So the church and the US become the space of resistance in order to escape.
It's terrible when you think that at that moment in the States, this is the moment where it is the most repressive moment. It's the moment of the cultural wars, where indeed there is an incredible repression, not only against you know, the people, but also people with AIDS, homosexuals, you know, any kind of dissidence or resistance against you know, the Congress, but also a moment, I mean, a little, you know, 91, you know, the moment in which those people say they've been injecting themselves or being contaminated with HIV. It's also the moment of this war against images, you know, of all images that actually show liquids such as blood and semen. And indeed, it's so interesting to see that convergence of taboos that are, you know, in Cuba and in its reverse in the United States, where indeed there is this war against all kinds of images that would indeed contaminate people. The discourse is really interesting to study. It has been studied many, many times, and I tried to do something about it in my book also, where indeed the simple idea to look at images, to look, for instance, at the Peace Christ of Andres Serrano, to look at you know, David Vojnarovic's texts or images, to look at Robert Mabel's, I mean, to look at all these images is subjected to a fear of contamination that the United States, that, you know, all Western countries have been subjected to since a long time, but which is particularly at stake in the United States. So it's really interesting to see those signs of religion and the United States flag, which are precisely the forces that are repressing the images and the people with AIDS in the States. Yeah, it's a double bind, which I think is really interesting, actually. Yeah.
Also, like, I think that the music in the film, it's basically also maybe somehow
product of necessity in a way. Like, I mean, like Bach's, and the fact that like many of the bands that like, well, these people were listening to like Led Zeppelin and like Van Halen and stuff like that, but I guess that he was not able to use that because of like copyright laws. And then most of the bands that they were listening to or that were formed in, had formed in Cuba, were forming in the sanatorium, so they had no capacity to like record. So that's also somehow why the sound quality of like most of the film is pretty contingent, because like of like the way in which it was made, like, and the kind of like urgency that was like, okay, we need to put some music to this. But definitely, I had never thought about the fact that, I mean, I have thought about like religion and the an American as like an American flag as like the symbols of like some kind of like resistance that was more, it has like more a symbolic relationship with the context of Cuba, mm-hmm. as like places that were forbidden, and so like necessarily like a revolt and like an actual relationship with the specificities that they enacted in the United States per se. But
I think the first visit of the Pope is a year after, if I'm not wrong, because it's that within the Cuban context is there is this double movement of, at the one hand, reimpose socialist norms, and at the other to make concessions, because they like the answer is to leave the country or to have this massive movements of suicide, which is the way to
sabotage.
To get a frontier, to like to protect themselves from the state's approach. I lost my point.
No, but I think I was also thinking about like there's this text by film scholar or whatever, like a writer. His name is Nathan Lee. He's doing his PhD at Brown, and he wrote this text not so long ago. I think it's an eflux that is called Becoming Undetectable. And so he's talking about like queer sexuality and queer identity, and like how like it's about like men that choose, or like queer male identified people who chooses to like enact queer sexuality as a pre-AIDS era, and therefore like take the risk of like becoming positive, but then like through retrovirus becoming undetectable. And he makes kind of a convoluted argument as like somehow being it also related with the fact that like we live in a society where you have to be an able individual, and that's the way in which you are supposed to perform a proper role. And so part of that is like being this like kind of like able body that is also always kind of like on the safer side, that is immune, that is this sort of like sealed kind of corporeality that has to defend itself, because that's kind of your property, your asset. And so that point as like being a way of rejecting that whole part of ideology and this saying like you are porous, you are kind of choosing death instead of like choosing life. And I think that is super problematic, and also a very privileged position that comes from a person that has access to the drugs that are gonna make you able to like survive as undetectable for many, many years, as people do. But in the context of this, it's like it is the ultimate sabotage for a country that was projecting its ideals on the body, on the actual body of its citizens. So it's the way in which, like to some degree, also I think that something that is really sad about this document is that these people died thinking we didn't do anything, pretty much. Like we barely had any kind of impact, and it would come out later that actually certain policies and certain ways in which these people were being repressed were actually being changed because Cuba was losing its basic asset, which were people. That were like the young people were like kind of like killing themselves in this way. And even if it wasn't recognized officially, there were certain things that were being transformed through this like kind of like insane rocker sacrifice among other segments of the population.
Actually, I don't know when the policy of getting people into the sanatorium stopped. But there were
still sanatoriums. I read that.
But like there's no longer this massive policies of getting people into nearly prison situation. But there was 4 years ago, 6 years ago, a fiction film that was made in Cuba about this generation, and that was partly co-produced by the ICAIC, so by the Cuban.
And what's the name? I have it in my notebook.
It's Boleto al Paraíso.
Boleto al Paraíso, yeah. Which I was very super surprised, but it was produced by Cuba and it was released in Cuba.
It was released in Cuba, but as far as I know, it was not shown very much, but only in some instances of the Havana Film Festival, which actually is a moment where showing films, where films are screened that are never screened in the rest of the year, bound with a lot of audiences that get into the films that are not shown again afterwards. But I was quite surprised that the Kaif would
There's also been another film that is not exactly about the rocker phenomenon, but it's about the situation in the sanatoria that came out, like I watched it on the plane, like maybe like last year or something, and it's about one person, it's like the story of one of the people that he mentioned that come from Angola. So the HIV got to Cuba through soldiers that were fighting in Angola helping the like liberation front, or like the, Cuba had a lot of involvement with independence movements in Africa. And so Angolistas that called them, like the people that were coming back from Angola, some of them had HIV, and that was like, that's the official version, like who knows, no? But like that's the official version.
There is always a kind of official
version. Yeah, like the patient zero from Cuba was coming from Angola, and